Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Joining us at this time on the Big Fred Tuesday is Farbod Ardebili, director of Forbidden to See a Scream in Tehran. Farbod's film premiered at the Fantastic Fest and has been nominated for Best Live Action Short at the Cleveland International Film Festival. It was also screened at the Beverly Hills Film Festival. So it's great to have him here on the show. Farbod, welcome to the Big Fred Tuesday.
Hi, Matt. Thanks so much for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. I mean, we're going to be talking about your new short film and the fascinating story behind it. But the obligatory question before we begin is, would you be able to introduce Forbidden to See a Scream in Tehran, for especially for those who have not seen the film yet? I mean, what's the story of the film?
Of course. So it's a short film inspired by true events. It's about a woman named Shima. She's a singer of a metal band in Iran, and in Iran, singing for women is illegal in any genre, let alone metal, because metal music is also illegal in Iran. She and her bandmates, they decide to put on a underground metal concert in Iran and call the cops on themselves, because they believe if their videos go viral, they can gain fame, and also they will be able to seek asylum in some other country so they can follow their dreams. So that's the heart of the story. But of course, matters are more complicated. Shima has a deaf and mute sister that she very much cares for, and she's torn apart between choosing her dreams and her sister.
Yeah, there's a lot packed into this short, and I'm going to want to kind of talk about a lot of the things that you mentioned there in your introduction, and I thank you for that once again. But I think a lot of people will be curious to kind of hear this as a follow-up question. Why is metal considered such a controversial music in Iran?
Well, interestingly, metal was also controversial over here for the longest time. But in Iran, situation is much worse. Like, it's considered satanic music. In state TV, they have propaganda videos, propaganda against metal music. The Iranian government is a very restrict government, and they limit the people to the maximum. So it's not crazy to imagine why they would ban metal music in the country.
The lead character of this film is a woman. Is it any worse if a woman is found performing a metal concert or playing metal music?
Of course. Let's not forget, singing in any genre solo for women is illegal in Iran, which is just the craziest thing to me, right? And unfortunately, there have been bands who have been persecuted before. There was this band named Confess. They were about to face death penalty for playing metal music and for their lyrics. But luckily, they got away. There was another band, Carl Arsames. The band members collectively got 15 years of jail time in Iran. But luckily, they also got away. So the situation is pretty bad, but it's even worse for women, not only in metal music, but if they release anything, any album where they are singing solo in any genre, it will be considered an illegal activity in Iran.
And you're a metal musician yourself, right?
That's true. That's what actually inspired the film.
Oh, right. So, I mean, I did read that this story, aside from what you told me, kind of the cultural background, was inspired by true events. Is it things that you experienced while you were performing as a metal artist yourself in Iran?
Yes, I was a metal artist in Iran. I had a metal band in Iran called Off. I founded the band in 2007, and actually it was an exciting time. We were playing music, we were releasing albums illegally, but there was always the risk of getting arrested and being persecuted, but we really didn't care. We just wanted to play metal, we just wanted to play music, and we did everything we could to spread the word about our music. For our second album, we had a female vocalist, and her name was Anahita, and she was extremely talented. And it was always painful for me to watch that she cannot release anything official in Iran, and such a talent, like imagine such a talent going to waste, imagining such a talent going to waste was very hard to fathom for me. That's actually what inspired the film. My experience as a guitarist in a metal band.
You are now living in the United States, right?
Right.
And does that have something to do with your artistic activities, perhaps even connected to your metal career?
That wasn't much of a career. We couldn't do anything officially, really, or make any benefit from our work, make profit from our work. The main reason I came to the U.S. was to be able to freely make movies and make music the way I want to make movies and the way I want to make music. One of the reasons I cannot go back is in part related to my activity as a metal artist in Iran, but it's also very much related to the fact that I have produced many short films here, which, based on the message of my films, it might be dangerous for me to go back to my home country.
Because they're kind of protesting against a certain situation in Iran? Is that why?
One of the reasons is that. But, like, you have to remember, in Iran, like, there is a very narrow point of view that the government wants all artworks to follow. If you're not in the same line with the government, even so slightly, you are considered a danger to the country. So yeah, you have to be very, very careful. If you are, especially if you are in Iran, but even when you're outside of the Iran, still what you make here, you are still considered Iranian for the government of Iran. So your work over here can still put you at risk.
We talked about how you have been living in exile for several years, away from your home country in Iran, and are currently living in the United States. And so as a result, you've kind of been forced to experiment with different techniques for directing this film. For example, this film in particular was shot on the streets of Tehran. And I read that you directed it via WhatsApp, which is really interesting. I mean, is that true?
That's very true. Unfortunately, as I just discussed with you, I wasn't able to go back to my home country, and I wanted to make this. I was offered to make the movie over here, but I wanted the movie to be authentic, and I wanted to make it in Iran with my friends because it was the story of my friends. So I decided to direct the movie through WhatsApp. It was quite challenging. Technical issues were plenty. We had many connection loss. And as you can imagine, it's very challenging to direct a team of 50 plus people through a mobile phone. But I had an amazing team that they were my heroes during the production. They were brave. They put themselves at risk because they believe in the story, and they did a fantastic job. And without my team, I wouldn't have been able to make this movie in 1,000 years. And they are the real owners of this film.
So how did that exactly work? I mean, were they communicating what was happening on the set? How were you able to direct the film as it was being shot?
So we had many, many, many training sessions before starting the shoot. Just in case something goes wrong during the shoot, everyone knew what is going to happen and what they needed to do. But the way we did it, when we didn't have connection issues, of course, I would look at the monitor through WhatsApp, give directions to my producer, and my producer will give my directions to every other member of the team. So that's the way we figured out to do it. And at first it wasn't going very well. We were behind the schedule. We weren't moving fast enough. So we made many adjustments as we went forward to make sure it works. And luckily it did work.
Yeah, I mean, and that's impressive just hearing you say how it all came together, because having seen the film, I mean, a lot of the shots, for example, are pretty complicated. I mean, it's not like it would have been the typical sort of handheld camera work, and you can kind of, you get what you shoot and that's it. Some of these shots are pretty elaborate.
That's true. And I had an amazing cinematographer, Masoud Amiri-Tirani, and he was absolutely amazing. I would just give him the directions, and he would just deliver in the best way possible. So I was very lucky to have an amazing team behind me.
So you did mention it a little earlier, but I just wanted to go back to this point. Obviously, having shot the film in Tehran actually gives it a greater level of authenticity than you would have been able to achieve making the same film in the States, for example. But you did mention that it was quite risky, even dangerous, for them to film there. What exactly would have been, what were the risks that they were running? I mean, what would have happened, for example, if they'd been caught in the concert scene?
So it wouldn't have been pretty, that's for sure. And so sometimes I was even hesitant to ask the team to do one more take, because I was thinking, okay, one more take would mean like how many, God knows how many more minutes putting them at risk. But my team members, my cast and crew, they were like, no, we know you want one more take. Let's do one more take. So they were really brave. But if they were captured, for example, during the concert scene, having a female vocalist on the stage, all that crowd, that could have been very bad, very bad. I don't want to even think what would have happened, but that could have been very bad. So my cast and crew, they were extremely brave. And thanks to their bravery, this movie happened. But we made sure that they are safe right now after the movie is finished. And I cannot go into details for what we did to make sure they are safe for the sake of their safety. As much as I love to, I cannot go into the details. But they are safe now, but they were really not safe during the shoot.
But having said that, this film now is out into the world. It's been getting some attention. It's getting some attention now. It's been winning awards. Have you been receiving any negative feedback as a result of people who perhaps don't agree with the ideology that you portray in this film?
Not really. The only negative feedback I've received was from someone, just one person from inside Iran, and he was criticizing me for criticizing the Iranian government. But that was the extent of it. The feedback has been extremely positive. And so, as you can imagine, when you make a movie about a foreign country with foreign characters, speaking a foreign language, right, in a foreign situation, a situation foreign to most people of the world, it's really hard to imagine how people are going to react to it, right? We tried to make the best movie and tell the best story we could, but you're never sure until your movie is released. But the feedback has been extremely positive, and I'm very lucky, I'm very fortunate to have been able to make this film. Thanks, I cannot repeat this enough, to the bravery of my team members.
But I mean, yeah, I mean, I think part of the reason why people are connecting to it is, even though the film is set in Iran, there is a universal appeal to it. If I think, for example, about, we talked about the real side of the story that this film is based on, the true events that it's based on, and the cultural backdrop that it's based on. But at the same time, I did notice, for example, that, you know, just thinking about the two sisters, one who screams and the other one who can't hear, both of them are somehow not heard for one reason or another. There is a poetry to that as well.
Thank you so much for saying that. Yeah, that's how I felt about it too. And the story between the two sisters is really the heart and the soul of the story. The situation is just the craziness surrounding these two sisters, surrounding the heart of the story. But the story is really about the two sisters and how they have to reconcile their relationship and how they're going to manage the situation. Does Shima choose her dreams or choose her sister? That's the main question of the film.
As an artist living in exile, you've been a long time away from your home country. Are you optimistic about the future in any way? And do you hope to maybe return one day, possibly soon?
Of course, I'm dreaming of returning like every day. I would love to return one day and visit my country again. Things are changing, of course, very slowly. I have to mention this. People of Iran are nothing like the government of Iran. If you go to Iran, your perception of Iran will change completely, because in the media, when you look at the Iran, you only see the craziness, you only see the insanity. And actually, that's what the Iranian government want to show the world. But if you go actually, if you actually walk in the streets of Tehran, you would say completely different world. And the things are changing, not fast enough, very slowly, but I'm hopeful that a bigger change would come and things would get better in my home country. I'm really hopeful.
Do you think that cinema helps give Iran a more universal representation? It serves as a type of cultural bridge between Iran and other cultures all over the world.
All art forms, especially cinema, they are helping representing the real face of Iran, the real Iranian people to the world, right? Because the representation is awful. If you look at the news channels, if you follow Western media, the representation of Iranian people is awful, and that's what the Iranian government wants. But Iranian people, Iranian movies, Iranian music, Iranian art, they are really helpful in representing the real image of Iran, the image of the real people in Iran, their desires, their dreams, their daily lives, their problems. And I'm really hopeful that through art, many, many connections can be made.
Yes, that's definitely the hope. And your film can also, I think, help in that sense too. So it's been a pleasure speaking with you, Farvo. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much, man. It was a pleasure to meet you too. And thanks again.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.